Thank you, Jim. So, good morning, everybody. I hope you join us on the journey. A lot of people aren't here today, more than usual. Maybe it's Super Bowl. Maybe it's sickness, because a lot of people are sick. Pray for them. We have a lot of people on the prayer list that are in the process of being sick or in the process of recovering from being sick. So keep them in prayer. Hopefully they'll join us again soon. Pray for those who haven't been able to come out, that it'll be a way made for them to come out, or maybe you can encourage them to come out by offering them a ride and whatever, but reach out to them to let them know. But I hope you'll join us on this journey. Now, on the way of the journey, there's going to be some things that happen during that time. One of the things that, for those of you who do social media, we have, the church has a Facebook page. We've created an event page for the journey. And on there, you will find different things along the way. Maybe some people will be commenting about it and saying, hey, I'm reading, are you reading? Or maybe they'll reflect about what they read during this week. So that's something that you can kind of get into. So I guess however you do that with, I don't know what you do. Do you like it? How do they get to the event? Right. Click the event. So when you click the event, you can be part of whatever goes on the event. And that'll give you some encouragement along the way and kind of join that sense of community. The other thing, though, this is, I think, really cool that we're going to do is on the 27th of March, which is a Wednesday, right? Check me, it's a Wednesday, I'm pretty sure. We're going to all join together with our brothers and sisters in New Jersey. And don't say, oh, I don't go to Jersey. We'll get you to Jersey if you can't come. We'll make a way for you. We have rides, plenty of rides. But we're going to assemble together with them on a Wednesday evening around 7 o'clock, and a missionary from Chosen People's Ministry is going to be there, and we're going to celebrate the Messiah in the Passover with communion and just have a wonderful event. So that's culminating towards the end of that week, Easter week. That'll be the Wednesday before Easter, that we'll come together and have that wonderful celebration together as we've been taking this journey together. So I know you're all going to come, and all the people that aren't here today are going to come. And we're going to have a full house, and it's going to be wonderful. Amen? Okay, at least got amens out of you. That's how it works. Okay. Coming down McKean Street, and it was all blocked off because they're doing Super Bowl thing. And then the trash truck couldn't get down, so when I detoured down the little street, the trash truck got stuck because he couldn't get down the street. So we got out of that predicament, and then there was an Amazon truck who decided to deliver the whole block. But we were still here before the last song, praise God. But let's pray and open God's word today. And I hope that at the end of the service, you visit the table in the back and you give a little slip in and you join us on the journey as you get your book. Father, thank you for this time together. We pray for all those that are not with us today. There's many that are, some are traveling, Lord, we know. Lord, many are ill. Some are recovering. Father, we pray your touch and healing upon them, that through this time they would be growing in your grace and love as they recover. Father, for those who can't come out, that, Lord, they would let us know, and we would provide a way for them, transportation, whatever it might be. And that for the ones that just don't feel like it's important, Lord, deal with their hearts. Let us be part of that process, but, Lord, deal with their hearts, that they would know how much their need is for you and for one another. Lord, as we open your word today, bless it to our hearts. Give us ears to hear. Let our hearts be in tune with yours, that we might receive it with gladness, that it would bear fruit, that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. You've been with us the last few weeks, and if you have, even if you haven't been there, by the way, you know that the services are recorded and they're up on the website afterwards. Now that we are back online, Jason, are we back online? Yeah, we're back online. So then the services are then on Facebook, recorded. The videos are up there. You can go back. You can look at past ones. You can look at future ones. Only you got that. You can look at the future ones too. Yeah, kind of like, what did he say? So I do say things that keep you guys awake sometimes. But you can look at the past ones and the ones from the present, from today. They're usually up on the website, fairly quickly right after service. But if you've been with us, if you've been keeping track, we've been in the book of Ephesians, the epistle to Paul to the Ephesians, and we were talking about the first few weeks this wonderful plan, the eternal plan of the triune God. And we saw that this is a plan that God has unfolded. And it's a plan that he had before the foundation of this world. And it's a plan that was from the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the whole triune God together. And then last week we talked about God's workmanship. And who's God's workmanship? We are in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're part of his workmanship. And what did he do, create that workmanship for? For good works. For good works. We're going to delve a little deeper into this plan this morning to talk about the why of this plan, the purpose of this plan. It's a plan that we thank God for, but I want you to see that this plan, while it was for you personally, wasn't just for you personally, if you understand what I mean by that. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. So as you remember last week, as we were finishing up I think it was the 10th verse in Ephesians chapter 2, listen to what Paul, where we finished last week, what he says to the church. He says there in verse 10, for we, raise your hand if you're a we. Okay, we as if you're in Christ right now, because he's talking to those who have been born again. We, and if you're not in Christ, you have the potential to be a we. All right, but if you're a we, that for we are his workmanship. His creation, his work of art. Created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, unto good works. Not so you could look in the mirror and say, hey, I look good in Jesus, man. Well, you do look better in Jesus than you did before because you were a rotten corpse going to hell. But that's not what we were created for. We were created unto good works. His workmanship, unto good works. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk on. So God has a plan for our lives. Every one of us. My plan after I became a Christian was, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. But in that plan it was, but don't make me a pastor. That's true. That was true. That was my plan. I'll do anything, God. Ha, ha, ha. Anything. I'm sure there's a lot of other things I wouldn't have done. I didn't want to do either. But that was my, I'll do anything you want. That wasn't really true because I really didn't want to do anything he wanted. But don't make me a pastor. But then I realized that when I said, Lord, I'll do anything you want, when the call came and I had to realize that the call was from him, then I said, Lord, if you wanted me to do it, I'll do it. I'll do it. To walk in his good works. So now he's going to go back and remind us, you know, wherefores and therefores in the Bible are put there so that you can remember what it's there for. They read above. And so wherefore, because we're created by God, because we're his workmanship, because he created us unto good works, he wants us now to remember something. I know your right and our left arm is getting a workout today, but raise your hand if you sometimes have trouble remembering things. Wow, that was all of you. Now, what did I just say? Got trouble remembering, huh? We have to be reminded of things all the time, especially when it comes to God's Word, when it comes to Scripture. We do. And the Bible is full of reminders for us. One of the reasons we come together, hopefully Sunday at least, but Sundays and then, you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays and Friday nights and Wednesdays if you click online, and you know, we need to be reminded of things. Remember that you, being in the times past Gentiles, you were once a Gentile in the flesh. Now, there may be some here with some Jewish blood in them, but I'll cover that in a moment. But the world, by and large, at least from a biblical point of view, is divided into two major groups, Jew and Gentile, Israel and not Israel. So Paul, speaking to an audience by the Holy Spirit, writing this epistle to the church in Ephesus, who were not part of Israel, he says, remember, you were all Gentiles. You were not Israel. You are called the uncircumcision by that which is, by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. So he's talking about physical circumcision, which the Jews practiced because it was in the, you know, the law that that would take place. But they called everybody else who was uncircumcised the uncircumcision, and they didn't like them very much. In fact, they hated them. You read some of the writings of those back in the day, and they figured that all Gentiles, the only thing they were good for was to stoke the flames of hell's fire. At that time, right, when we were Gentiles in the flesh, now he's not talking about, you know, he's talking about before our conversion, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's some of the most frightening words of Scripture, but they're true words. When you and I, prior to becoming a we, meaning in Christ, if you're not in Christ, you're still then not a we yet. You're not part of the church yet, even though you're in the church building and, you know, you're not, if you're not born again, you're not part of the church yet. You're not part of the we yet. But when you and I, who are maybe part of the we now, before we were part of the we, guess what we were? We were completely without Christ. We were aliens from Israel, strangers from the covenants and the promise, having no hope and without God in this world. We were spiritually dead, and really, in a way, though we were alive, we were, as we talked last week, walking dead, physically dead in that way, going to hell, eternal death and separation from God, and we had no hope. See, at least if you were in Israel and you were part of the Jewish community, you had the promises and the hope through the law. You had the promises and the hope of the prophets. You had all those things. You had that vision. You had that light there that showed you looking for the Messiah and the promises and all those different things. You had at least that. Now, they weren't saved by that. They only could be saved in Christ, but at least they had that hope. But if you were a Gentile, you didn't have that. You were without spiritual blessings. You were without light. We were without peace, without rest, without safety, without hope, without a prophet, without a king, without a priest. We had nothing. Man. You say, what's this whole thing about getting saved? What's so important about that? Because you got nothing without salvation in Christ. Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Even if you gain the whole world, you got absolutely nothing. And I believe that the Holy Spirit, through this, is actually even talking about to Jews. And I said I would, you know, get to you if you happen to have some Jewish ancestry in you. Even those who may have been Jews by physical blood, but who were not part of the Commonwealth of Israel being in that faith, you know? Those who just, that time, didn't even care about that. So it doesn't matter what their ethnicity is. When you are without Christ, you have no hope. You have nothing. Now, we talked a little bit last week about the buts of the Bible. Here's another good but. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near because you're attractive and good-looking and smart and you have a lot of money. Have I? Nah. What, near one way? Say it with me. Say it with me. By the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. That's it. We who were lost, undone, we were without anything, we were no hope, nothing, we had nothing. We now have been brought near. Brought near to Him by His blood. By His work on the cross. You don't come to God any other way. You don't come to have that wonderful relationship with God through any other means, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because verse 14 continues on. For He, by the way, this is going to continue as we have a lot of text to cover today, and we'll do it by God's grace in the short amount of time we have, but you're going to see this as a crescendo. I mean, he's just getting started, Paul. The Holy Spirit's just like working him, and he's like, I can see him like writing this down, you know, and the Holy Spirit's just inspiring him to write these words. For He, who's He? Jesus, Himself is our peace. Nobody else. The world may give you a sense of temporary peace for a moment, but without Jesus, you have no peace. But He's made us to have peace through Himself. And He made both one. Who's the both? Jew and the Gentile. Ooh. And has broken down the middle wall of separation, which was in Israel, there was that separation because they hated the Gentiles. And by the way, the Gentiles didn't like them either. They were those weird people who do some weird religious stuff, and we don't like you either. So there was this wall division between them. In fact, there was a division even in the temple, even in God's temple. How many of you know, have you seen pictures of the temple? In, right? Nobody's seen a picture of the temple? Oh. Charles, you're the only one, I think. Okay. I know you've seen that. You've seen pictures of that. And in that, there was the, you know, the Holy of Holies, the holy place, the court of the men, the court of the who? Wex? Women? And then there's this big wall, and then outside was what? The court of the Gentiles. They can kind of come and hang around, but you got to be outside because we don't want you in here. There was a wall. Jesus broke down that wall, not just that physical wall. He broke down that wall that separated Jew and Gentile. There's no wall anymore, no division. And another part of the division, which he says next, he broke down that wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create himself one new man from two. So in other words, what he did was he broke down that wall, that the division between Jew and Gentile, but he also said the other thing that separated us was that they had the law, and that they looked at anybody who didn't keep the law as being so weird and distant. He says, well, there's no need to keep the law anymore because Jesus fulfilled the law. We don't get saved by keeping a law. You don't get saved by being good. You know that? Though once you get saved, you should be good. But you don't get saved by being good. You don't get saved by keeping the commandments. You don't get saved by... And Jews go, wait a minute, they got to keep... Even the early church, they had to have a whole meeting about, don't they have to keep the law? And they were like, no, we couldn't even keep it. And we're going to let them keep it? No, we don't need the law anymore. Jesus fulfilled the law. Because we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. But Jesus took that away. He says, so wait, your objection is the wall between the Jews and the Gentiles. Well, I knocked that down. Oh, your objection is they don't keep the law. I fulfilled that law. What's your objection now? You getting where he's going with this? How many of us love to make excuses? God loves to knock down our excuses. When he knocked down these things, he created in himself one new man from two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. All these things that separated us, he says, I abolished all of that, and I created now a new race. Christian. We call ourselves Christian, but in Christ. Born again of the blood of Christ, child of the living God. If any man or woman is in Christ, they are a new creation. New. I love when sometimes well-meaning Christians say, they'll say, I have a Jewish friend who's a believer in Jesus. You know, they call themselves Messianic Jews. Yeah, I know. And those Jewish people say, well, by the way, they're the church. No, they're Messianic Jews. No, they're the church. No, they're the church. I don't care what their nationality is. I don't care what their traditions are. If they are in Christ and born again, they are the church. They're a new creation. It's it. Are you seeing a theme here? The Holy Spirit's going to continue that thing. Because if anyone is Christ or a new creation, the other things have passed away. All things have become new. He is our peace. He brought us all together. He took away all the excuses. He's made us one, a brand new race. For we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy people. A peculiar people, I should say. A peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people to show forth the praises of him. A royal priesthood in Christ. You're all of that if you're in Christ. I want to remind you something. I'll get back to it later, Lord willing. But this was so important that Jesus prayed all about this in John chapter 17. This is how important the subject is. Paul, remember, what Paul does, mainly the Holy Spirit mainly works through Paul this way. His epistles, for the most part, gives you all the theology up front, the biblical basis for what we're saying. He's still doing that here. He's going to get into the practical stuff, which, Lord willing, we'll get into a few weeks from now. But he's given us all the theology, the basis. And that's what he wants us to understand today, that in Christ, before Christ, you were lost and outdone. But in Christ, you have hope. You have peace with God. And he has made the two to be one together, unified in him. By his blood, by his work on the cross, his church. For Verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. He did it. So now we are, therefore, no longer strangers and foreigners, because we have access to God through the blood of Jesus. We're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So he's done all of this to bring us all together to make us a building? Well, yeah, in a spiritual sense, yes. But not some random pile of rocks that are... I'm going to give you a little piece of advice. If you need a house built, don't call me. I'm okay at fixing things, but I'm not a master builder by any means. And if you want me to build you a house, it's going to be like the bathroom will be over there and the plumbing will be over there. And it's like, 'cause I'm not a builder. Jesus is a master builder. He didn't build us by just putting things randomly. He has a plan. And we're just not some random pile of stones thrown into a thing and say, oh, I hope that is a place that people can abide in. No. We are a perfectly constructed building, the church, the body of Christ, not this physical walls, the body of Christ, the people. He has done that in us. And you know what? It's built on a foundation, which is him. His work on the cross, the shed blood, the good news of the gospel, that he made a way for us, because if you're not one of the we yet, you can become a we, because the gospel is being preached today, that all who would repent of their sin and receive Jesus Christ can be born again today. You don't have to wait. In fact, you don't have to wait till the service is over, until I pray later. You can right now say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm turning away from my sin. I'm come into my life, cleanse my sin away. I want to be your child. And he'll come in. He'll, by faith, he'll come in. But when you do that, you're laid on that foundation. We're being built on that foundation. And he's building an amazing structure. And his message, or the message of the gospel, is the foundation. Paul said that. I get to lay the foundation. People could build on that, but you can't change the foundation. The foundation is the same foundation. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now let's build upon that, but we can't change the foundation. Now listen, I do know this much about building. Is if you don't have a good foundation, I don't care what you put on top of it. It's all going to fall down. But guess what? In the thought, especially in those days, in architecture, even Roman architecture and some Greek architecture, but it's even the architecture in the Middle East, they thought that the foundation, while it was important, wasn't the most important thing. You know what the most important thing was? The cornerstone. More important than the foundation, but guess what? In Jesus, the church that he's building together has both. He's the foundation, but he's also the cornerstone. So we're built upon the sure foundation of his finished work on the cross, but he's the one who everything fits together and holds us all together. Jesus. So there's nothing more beautiful. The work of the church, and again, we're not talking about a structure, we're talking about the body of Christ, gives glory, or should give glory, to the wisdom, power, and the love of God. Should make us want to praise him more. And by the way, this crescendo is just building. There's more to come. There's nothing more beautiful when the church does what the church is supposed to do. There's nothing more spacious than the church, because you know why? It's open to all who would come. There's only one way. It's very narrow, one way, but anybody can come. And there's nothing so wonderful that gives glory to our Father in heaven than the church. So Paul is building this crescendo. Now the Holy Spirit, I can see Paul so excited. Look, you can see how Jim's so excited about this journey to the cross. You can see all of us, we're excited about that. We feel this is something the Lord's leading us into, and excitement is building. We can't wait that, you know, you guys want to read every day, and that we're going to talk about it every day, and that we're going to celebrate all the things he's done. But that excitement is building within us. Imagine how much more the Apostle Paul is writing these words, building with excitement, saying, look at what God has done, Jew and Gentile together. By his blood on the cross, he gave us peace with God. And and peace with one another. He united us even through all of our objections, and he's the foundation. He's the cornerstone. And then he says, verse chapter 3, this is the reason that I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you, Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace which was given to me for you, how by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of man, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. He's saying, listen, I am so excited, and I have this wonderful, amazing privilege of telling you about a mystery that nobody else knew or understood. All the Old Testament, all the prophets, though there was hints of it in certain prophecies about it, they didn't understand what they were writing. The people that read it, they didn't understand what they were reading. He said, but God, now Jesus, because of his work on the cross and by the Holy Spirit now in the world working in the hearts of the believers, he's revealed this mystery to us. Something that we couldn't know before, that was hidden from us, has been revealed to us. And Paul says, I have a great privilege of telling you all about it. That's exciting. You know why? Because you and I have the same privilege. You and I have the same privilege to talk about what Jesus Christ has done in your life, making you have peace with God through his blood, peace with one another, Jew and Gentile, putting you as part of building you upon his foundation with his work on the cross, and he is the cornerstone of which everything fits around together. You and I can celebrate that and tell other people about it. And that's amazing. And that's beautiful. And that's wonderful. And God revealed it to Paul, and he's revealing it to us today. And he said that this mystery is so amazing that the Gentiles, verse 6, should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Paul says, I have a beautiful opportunity to serve. That's what a minister is. A minister is not an exalted position. A minister is a servant, one who serves others. You know, one definition of this in the original, I think, you know, Greek language, was a table waiter who was always at the bidding of the customer, at their beck and call. That's what a minister is. A minister is there to serve. Paul says, I'm so happy to serve you with the good news of the gospel. I'm so happy to pray for you. I'm so happy to love you. And guess what? By extension, we all have that opportunity to minister. This is part of the plan of God. You say, wait a minute, I don't understand this yet. You will in a moment. This is part of the plan. The plan of God was, yes, to die on the cross to save you personally from your sins, but it was God's plan to bring us all together as one. That's where the beauty is. There's beauty in our unity. Listen to what the apostle goes on to say. He says, this, that the Gentiles, again, are fellow heirs, partakers of the promise of Christ being the gospel. I have a minister according to his power to me, who am less than the least of the saints. This grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. How many riches are that? I don't know. It's unsearchable. It's more than you and I could even fathom or imagine. These riches in Christ. Do you understand the beauty of what's taking place here? You can insert your name into these things that Paul's talking about. You were completely without hope. You were completely without any chance, any opportunity. And God, in his unsearchable riches, died for you to bring you to himself, to give you salvation, peace, love, a hope, a future, a certainty. How many of you know that if you're in Christ, you have to not even think for a moment where you will spend eternity? You don't have to guess at it. By the way, eternity is coming for all of us. You don't have to guess where you're going to spend it. You don't have to get up in the morning and say, you know what, if I would die today, where would I be? Listen, if you're in Christ, his riches are, he died for you so that when you close your eyes in this world, you're immediately with him. You don't have to guess about that. Oh, wait, I'm not going to have to wait 1,000 years? Not if you're in Christ. In fact, if you wait 1,000 years, you're going to wait for all eternity separated from him. The unsearchable riches of Christ. This makes us see what the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the ages had been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. And now to this intent, here we're going to get to the final parts here, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God, this plan that to the human mind makes no sense, this plan of Jesus coming to die on the cross, this plan of God building himself a house of both Jew and Gentile, bringing them together into one, the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. Listen, church, the reason that God has done this, the purpose that he's done all this, is that we would be the ones who let the world know all about his salvation and love. We. And every one of us gets hung up on the fact that I can't do it. He said, we do it. He said, we do it. Yes, we may have individual opportunities and responsibilities in that. We do it together. What is your role in that? What is your part in it? Because it's not only, you're going to find out something, not only are you and I, the church, this beautiful building that he's put together, that is a beautiful unified building that he has built on the foundation that he's the cornerstone of, not only has he done that for us to tell the world about him, you know what else it's been done for? So that the principalities and powers in heavenly places would know also. You don't see it now, but there's angels peering in right now. Both fallen and unfallen. The fallen we call demons, but they're angels. They're peering in. I don't see them. Where are they? Are they under the piano? Oh, maybe in the light? No, no. It's another dimension. It's the spirit world, but they're here. They're peering in. They're watching. The fallen ones are watching in amazement, thinking, how can we mess this whole thing up? Let's mess this up. What can we do? But then you have the unfallen ones, the angels that minister from God, that minister to us. You have them looking down, and they're saying this. They're saying, how did God do this with them? See, you and I still may have a little bit within us that even though I know I was kind of a wretch, but God saved me because there must have been something special about me. Get rid of that, because the angels look down and say, hey, there's nothing special about you, buddy. Nothing. And they stand in amazement going, he did that for them? The ones who curse him? The ones who doubt him? Who rebel against him? The ones who don't want to spend time in fellowship with them? The ones that start all their kind of own religion in their own way? The ones that shake their fists together and say, cast your cords asunder away from me? Yeah! They're going like, wow! So somehow, angels are having their minds blown when they see what God is doing in these unworthy people. These broken vessels, these individuals who, Jew or Gentile, were on their way to hell, who didn't care. He said, look what they've done. Look what God has done. Because you know what? Through this, they're looking and admiring this. You know what they're saying? They could have never done that on their own. God, you get the glory. That's why the angels are around the throne saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. They're praising him day and night, saying, look at what he's done down there. That's the plan. Us, the church, the building, the East building, in us. Because he's showing that even to the angels and the principalities and powers, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through him with faith, so that we who were afar off not only have been saved, not only have been left here for us to glorify our Father in heaven in our unity and doing the things he's called us to do, but that we also have access to him in prayer. That you and I, who were cut off, now can come close. And you can go up and sit on the lap of your Father in heaven. You have access into the very throne room of the all-powerful, almighty God, a holy God. This is so amazing that right after this is this crescendo builds. It's Paul's desire that we understand this, that the Holy Spirit's going to have him pray for us. We'll, Lord willing, touch that next week. But I want to leave you with this scripture because to me this is so amazing that I don't want any of us to leave here today. I don't want anybody who's watching us today or anybody that comes in on and clicks on the website later. I don't want anybody to leave today hearing this message and not have the Holy Spirit do in their heart this amazing work of saying that this is what God has done. Because this is amazing. I don't mean this in a way of demeaning any of us here today, but I think that we still don't grasp this yet, but I know the Holy Spirit will do that work. What we're reading here is amazing. And Paul is going to pray for us that we'd understand it even more because he knows we can't get it on our own. It has to be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. But I want to leave you with this. This is so important that Jesus himself prayed for us. And I'm just going to leave you with one aspect of that prayer, one verse of that prayer, to show you how important it is that Jesus prayed to the Father. He said this in John 17, verse 23. He says to the Father, praying about us, I in them. That's the same as if you were a we. If you're a we, you're now a them. Father, I in them. And you in me, that we may be made perfect in one. Now you say, where's this purpose you've been talking about, Pastor Joe? I see it. I get the theology a little bit. I hope I get it more. But what's the purpose? Here's the purpose. And that the world may know that you have sent me, Jesus, right? And have loved them as you have loved me. He's taken all of us, Jew and Gentile, that were so far from him, and by his shed blood on the cross, by the work that he completed, that we, when we come to faith in him, he's brought us together with him, giving us peace with God, peace with one another. He's made us one new creature in Christ that we would be able to testify to the world through this unity that he is real. That's what it's all about, church. This unity that we'll talk about in the next couple weeks, a few weeks together, is so important that Jesus prays for it for us to take place. Now, I will remind you, if you're in Christ, you are already have that unity with the rest of the body of Christ. The question is, are we expressing that unity? See, are people seeing that finished work of the cross in us? Is our love one for another growing? Or are we today making the same excuses they made back then? Well, that's them, this is us, and we don't like them, and all this, and they do this, and we do that, and we criticize, and we do that. What are we doing? Jesus prayed. He said, it's so important, Father, because it's possible. Think of this way. It's actually, in some ways, just let this thought ruminate in your head as we close. In some ways, through that prayer, Jesus is almost, if you will, giving permission to the world to doubt him and his mission if they don't see the love and unity among the body of Christ. Think about that. Because he says it right there, that the world may know that you have sent me and love them as you have loved me. Wow. That's how important this is. We're one because he's made us one, but we have to work, and we'll talk about that soon, to keep that unity in the bonds of peace. But you can start today by understanding it. I know my feeble words aren't enough, but I do trust the Holy Spirit, as we close in prayer, will bring this to light, will illuminate our hearts and minds that we get it. And once we get it, then you're going to say, Lord, now I want to live it. Father, thank you today for your word, your truth, this amazing mystery of the plan, the eternal plan of the triune God, to do this work of building your church from both Jew and Gentile, taking away all the excuses and making us one together in you, Lord Jesus, and building this foundation upon your work, your gospel, your, Lord, finished work on the cross, to be you be the one that's in the center of it all, the chief cornerstone of it all, and giving us an opportunity to let the world know. Father, when the church does what the church is supposed to do, it's beautiful. But Father, I'll confess that I've also seen that when the church doesn't do what it's supposed to do, it gets really ugly. Father, forgive us for the ugly, because that's not your desire, and that's not what you've built. Father, help us to perform as the church in unity and love for one another the divine task of declaring to the world that you are real, and that you were sent by the Father to be the Messiah for all mankind, and that through your church you've given us the opportunity to proclaim that message. Let the church be beautiful. Let us do that wonderful work that you have left us here to do, for we are your workmanship, created unto good works, and that works, those works begin as we walk in unity and love one for another. So, Father, do in us what only you can do, and take whatever, Lord, these feeble words of mine, Lord God, cannot relay, and bring it to light that we might know and understand and then do. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, let's stand together. Let's sing together. Listen, go check on your brothers and sisters. I know, you know, the ones that aren't here today. Check on them. Pray for them, okay? Hopefully they'll be back all back together with us in the next few weeks. Let's worship together and don't run right out. Take some time to pray for one another, exhort one another, because he's our cornerstone.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
My hope.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust. Strong in the Savior.
Get your journey to the cross and the book in the back, and now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.